Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here.
Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
What's going on, everybody? This is Woody Massey, producer of the Jimmy Della Valley Brooklyn Buddha podcast, co-hosted by Tim Humune. Today on the podcast, we have Alicia Cooper. Alicia, one of the funniest female comedians in the game today. Screw it, one of the funniest comedians in the game today. Hilarious lady. Jimmy sits down, has a great talk with her about her career, comedy, going on the road. It's a great time. Jimmy's starting to do a lot of carnival cruises, folks. Go have a vacation of a lifetime. Sit back, have some laughs. It's a great time. Go check out his schedule at jimmydellavalley.com. And Jimmy's also going to be at the Golden Nugget Casino January 10th to the 14th in Las Vegas, Nevada. Go check it out. Win some money. Have some laughs. And without further ado, everybody, I'm going to let you get to the interview. Have a great night. Stay safe.
Brooklyn Buddha.
So, here's the thing. You know, as everybody knows, on the Brooklyn Buddha podcast, I only bring you on if I've met you, I've hung with you, you've contacted me, we've actually spoke. I know her. Pretty rare if it's just a referral. I kind of just like, I need to vibe with you. And this is a woman who, you know, some people are, you know, women aren't funny, women are great, doesn't matter. This girl is hilarious, and I love her. We were supposed to do a film together. We showed up. You know, she probably didn't know I could act. I didn't know she could act. But we did like a table read, and the chemistry was amazing together. Me and Tim were doing, I was doing the dirty at 12:30, and Tim did a spot, she did a spot, and she was a beast. And then the guy who features with me, Chad Shapiro, had told me about her. And that's how you meet people. You never know. She's in the game 15, 20 years, and you never meet somebody.
It's also, she's memorable. You know?
Oh, like, yeah. She got her.
You'll see someone and you go, oh, yeah. I remember
she got a great that. Point of view. Yeah. Just, she's. I think she's a beast. I think she could be the next, strong woman that she could have her own talk show. She's sitting here, she's crying right now. I can't believe he's saying this. But anyways, we're talking to Tim.
The allergies.
Tim Humune.
Hello.
And Woody, say what's up.
Hello.
And the lovely comedian, actress, political pundit, Alicia Cooper.
Hey, the political pundit is here. We all became pundits under Obama.
Oh, so speaking of, so you're from D.C., right?
Yes.
Did you go see Obama elected?
You know, I was there. Y'all going to think this is real trifling. One of my friends flew in from L.A. She's a lawyer. And she came in and stayed at my place. And it was cold as heck out there. I mean, it was freezing. I said, you got to go by yourself. So she went out and she have a problem going. She was gone all day, and I was right in the house in the warmth. I mean, I watched it. I watched it on TV. I was happy for him, but I can't be inconvenienced like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was too cold.
Yeah, the black president only comes around once in a while, but she's in her fucking Snuggie. Yeah. Fucking, she's got her tissues.
Hey, I voted. I did my part.
It may not be over. You got Carson running next one. You got Kanye for the next one.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. Kanye will be elected before Ben Carson. This fool talking about Muslim.
Kanye gave Carson the cosign. He came out and said Ben Carson's a genius.
Kanye also let Matt Lauer Toby him on national
Kanye
TV.
Kanye also wrote a song about Bush gold diggers about and then married Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
But you know, if his mother was still alive and her father was still alive, we wouldn't be dealing with none of this bull.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, I do think you are a great comedian. It has nothing to do with a woman or a man. I just, you know, I think of that I don't say actress, actor. I consider you an actor. You know what I mean? It's, you know, I'm equal rights in this business of, you're out here, right? When I met you in Vegas, you're mm-hmm. from D.C., but you lived in L.A. first after D.C., then went to Vegas.
Yeah, I lived in L.A. from 98 to 2008. Then I left. Went back to the East Coast. Then I ended up doing a year in New York City. Boy, they wore me out in New York. That's the first time in my life I ever got in a cab and said, step on it. Because, you know, you're doing 3 or 4 sets in a night. I was always sweaty. It was just not. Right. I mean, you learned a lot and you improved, but it was just too much running around. Then I moved to Vegas for a year because the rent was so cheap.
Right.
Like, you can get, like, a 2-bedroom for $600, $650.
So you're catching up on your money, your
Yeah,
your
I was able to sleep in my own bed. You know, what I didn't know was that they don't really want to pay the comics well in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, so because comics are undercutting comics, and they want to pay you $200 for 11 shows. You know, that kind of crazy. So I didn't realize you had to fight for your money in Vegas. But at least I was able to sleep in my own bed. I did that for a year. Then I moved back to L.A.
Did you ever date a comic?
No, the thing was, this is what happened for me. I was a television producer, and I decided I wanted to make the transition. So I started calling up comics that I knew that were successful at it and getting their advice. They said, never sleep with a comic. That was like, I think, maybe number one or two. You know, so, you know, they were like, you know, you just never want to get involved in all that. It's too messy. This is a profession. Be professional. And everything they told me was correct about this business. And, you know, when you call somebody that's doing it at a high level and you get their advice, you might as well take it.
Yeah.
And you probably had a lot of comics, you know, flirting and...
I'm not going to say a lot like I'm the Kim Kardashian of comedy, but I'm saying you will get... I mean, you know, you're on the road with people a long time, y'all drinking, you know, you get loose and... You know, anything can happen with two single comedians. Yeah. So.
She don't fuck comics, but suck a lot of actors' dicks.
Yeah, just change your label.
Yeah, because I see so many male comics that's how they... Not that they view female comics as, you know, unfunny, but they... It's a very sexual.
Well, Tim was married to a comic.
So I know and, from experience.
You do know.
I remember watching her. She was an open micer. And Tim was a headliner. And then he's hanging with her. And then he's headlining. He's like, she comes with me. And you know what I mean? She's doing all the shows with him. And that's how she grew as a comic. Because he had to vouch for her. Because, you know, he's living with her. He's married to her. But no.
But, you know, that goes both ways. I know some female comics who were headlining. And they took some open act guys.
Yeah.
And it was the same scenario in the reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think, I don't know if you've had this, where if you've been on the road by yourself, it can get pretty creepy. I know there was a female comic down south. I think it was North Carolina, where she was... There was someone, they put her in a cheap motel, and there was someone trying to break into her door, who knew, I guess, saw her show and followed her, and was literally kicking the door. So she called the club owner and says, you got to get me in another place. This is, and he goes, nah, yeah, that's why I don't hire females. You're on your own.
Yeah, they want to live. That's why I don't hire them. Yeah. One of the comics, I was talking to Monique when I first started doing it, and she said, get 50% of your money up before you leave the house, and the other 50% before you open your mouth.
And that's being a woman?
No, she's saying just as when I was asking about the things you need to know being a comic. Because after they get the show out of you, now they let me holler at you.
Did to let me holler at you with Rocco, because he does a lot of urban rooms. And I said, hated to let me holler at you. I've never been, burnt. Didn't it just happen the other day for something? Oh, yeah. And I posted on Facebook, and I had like 50, 60 comments, and then the dude hit me up, and he was like, man, were you talking about me? He's like, dude, I sent you the money, and da, da, da. And I said, well, it didn't come through. You said you're going to pay me in PayPal, and I said, I don't give a shit. He's like, well, the club's supposed to pay me. I said, I don't give a fuck about that.
You
pay me out
of
your pocket. Yep. I don't give a shit who owes you.
Yep.
You owe me. I did the job. I had lunch. So that was the only time. And then my manager was like, I'll fucking handle that. I was like, no, don't worry. I got this. It's not a big deal. But I like to just put it out there. And the guy's like, well, I want to tell my story on Facebook. I go, no. I go, dude, you trust me. You don't want to, because I got some fans that might fuck you up. They get mad. I got some followers that, you know, the gangster. You know what I mean? Like,
they will beat you. And any time I didn't follow her advice, I got beaten. There was this comic, this promoter. This is my fault. His email address was Janky Promoter.
Oh, yeah.
When they tell you who they are, believe them.
Oh,
and he shorted me out of my daggone money. So, you know, I just get half of your money before you leave the house, and the other half before you open your mouth, and you won't have these issues.
Yeah, it's funny. I was doing... I remember I was doing a gig for like 10 grand, right? I got booked for 10 grand in Nova Scotia. And I'm like, and I know exactly what you're talking about. So I sent them a contract. It was a couple of years ago. I sent them a contract. And I said, there is no refunds. You need to pay me my 50% up. Because I knew they weren't. I knew I wasn't going to end up doing this gig. Yeah. Because I said, why would, it's like this thing for like women, beating women, shelter. But it was a huge convention, like these women abuse thing. And I'm like, why would I fucking, you're going to get a speaker. Why the fuck would you get me? But they had contacted me, and she had PayPal'd me $5,000. And then a week later, she go, oh, we're going to go with a speaker, but you can keep the money. I said, yeah, of course I can keep that fucking money. I knew, you know what I mean? Like, you kidding me? So that was one of the greatest as a comic. Like, for you, you just went on a big theater tour with the ladies?
Oh, Ladies of Laughter. Yeah, okay. We won the Ladies of Laughter contest, and you got some tour dates out of that. We did a couple colleges, and we did some theaters. Yeah.
How are other women? I mean, I'll see posts about you, like other women are like, oh, I love Alicia. And you got some probably issues with some women in this business, right?
Yeah. There. Yeah. You know what? I have been really, really fortunate to not have to deal with a lot of stuff.
The cattiness.
I've been lucky in that way. But one thing I cannot stand is women at a high level who get booked on these big shows and say, I have to be the only woman on the lineup.
Yeah.
That's been my only issue, because You're keeping other women from working. So now it's four guys and one woman. What would have hurt you to have another woman on the lineup? What, now you're not funny?
Yeah.
You know what? Now you're not cute? Like, what is the reason why you're making it so that other people... You don't hear men say, I can be the only man on the lineup.
Right.
They just want to do their job.
Yeah, because I used to hear my ex, they said, oh, we already have a female on the line. Like, there was always a problem, but to hear it the other way around, where a woman going, I don't want another woman.
Yeah. And these are the major girls, you know, that can make demands, and they always make that one.
Do you have any anyone, so you say, like, Monique is a bit of a mentor to you?
You know, I worked on her sitcom called The Parkers.
Okay.
You know, so that's where we first worked together.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you have that. Is there anyone that's, like, on your level? Like Tim is, you know, he's my partner in crime. Do you have anybody like that, a girl that you hang with?
That's a comic or period?
A comic.
That
you're just, you know, you're like, yo, like, me and Tim get together. Yeah. We write, like, we... just started, you know, we've been in the business over 20 years. We write every day like we just started. You know what I mean? We got that fire.
No, I don't have that. A lot of the female comics have day jobs. They're not really fully in it.
Right.
So, you know, it's in the L.A. area. Everybody I know has a job. You know, so it's pretty, for the women, it seems to be more of an individual game. Guys do work together better in that way.
Yeah. Well, what about you, like, with the guys? Do you hang with any guys?
Not really. A lot of times I'm either traveling or right now I'm creating a talk show. I'm writing my sitcom script and I'm writing my one-woman show. So that's a lot of solitude.
Right, you know what
I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm at home just writing and rewriting and rewriting. And then I go to work.
Do you like to be back in L.A. as opposed to Vegas now?
I do like being back in L.A. because now I can audition.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes I get a voiceover audition, a commercial audition, things I couldn't do there. But when I first moved to Vegas, I wanted a residency. And I guess I didn't articulate that because they gave it to Edwin San Juan, who I love.
Uh-huh.
The guys, I said, oh, man, I thought it was right here. Y'all got Edwin coming in for this. And they were like, we didn't know you wanted it. Two, we want somebody like him because he's not trying to do anything with the industry. He's not trying to audition. You know, he said, we don't want somebody that's like, oh, I can't be here Friday because I got to blah, blah, blah. Edwin's going to be here every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, well, from a business perspective, that makes sense.
Well, that's, you know, that's the thing where the business has changed, like the four-wall.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's like Matt and Joaquin, they're going to four-wall that place, and you're going to get your kickback. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing that really sucks about Vegas, because, I mean, I headline, I do corporates, I do all this different shit there. And, you know, and I do the dirty at 12:30, and I love it. But, man... Sometimes you're on a show with, you know, some great comics, and you're like, you know, and it, you know, as I always say, this business is smoke and mirrors. So you got these guys going out from L.A., and then they're like, oh, yeah, I'm doing a whole week with blah, blah, blah. You're like, I know that fucking week pays nothing, maybe $200, and you don't get a hotel. You got to stay at the Headliners.
They got people using their hotel points.
Right.
You know, all that stuff.
And
so,
it's like, what the fuck?
And then when you're not willing to use your points, they get mad at you.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah, that's what I just, Jimmy's agent, manager, that I said, oh, I need a tie-in. And they said, oh, we got this gig. It pays a certain amount. I go, oh, that's good. Oh, there's no hotel. That's well, that's gonna cut
eat
you know,
into my profits.
Yeah, profits. It's four nights. Yeah, three, four nights. It's
yeah, you know, and that's the thing. Wow. It's like when I started, which was in the early 90s, it was the money was like, I could do, the headliner is doing like a fucking bar, but it's kind of got a good little setup with a stage, but it's a bar. Mm-hmm. And he's getting like $2,000 for the night. And I'm like, I'm getting $500 cash to do 15 minutes. It's like, these comics now are either going to do it for free or they're going to work for $75, maybe $100, $150.
But see, I just think the difference is there's so many more comics. When Def Jam hit, because, you know, back in the day, there wasn't a whole lot of black comedians, and when they were really mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Rondell Sheridan,
mm-hmm.
Arsenio,
mm-hmm.
they were a certain kind of black comic because they were doing improvs. When Def Jam hit, you could be whoever you wanted to be. You know, that was on HBO, you could say whatever you wanted to say, and then it opened up the market. Every third person was a comic.
Well, yeah, well, that's, I mean, that is back then, but my wife just said to me the other day, she goes, honey, don't you feel like there's so many more comics now? I said, listen, I'll explain to you exactly what I know, exactly what I'm talking about. It is because we had to learn how to be comics from the stage. These motherfuckers watch YouTube and they go, oh, that's how you deliver a joke. They don't got to go to, they don't have to learn how to write. They go, okay, let me talk about my wife. Okay, boom, 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 boom. Here's the punchline. Boom, 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 boom. Here's the punchline. You want to learn how to tell a story? Watch Tony fucking Woods. Okay, here's Tony Woods. That's how you tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you used to have to sit in the club. So, you know, I get frustrated with this. You know, there's some comics that are major national headliners now. They have their own sitcoms, and they're only doing comedy 3 or 4 years. And they're actually pretty damn funny. And I've talked to them. And I said, man, how'd you get so strong in 3 or 4 years? They're like, man, all I did is watch YouTube videos and Netflix and this and that. I go, so you learn how to... They go, yeah, pretty much that's how I learned how to perform.
Mm.
And I'm like, you know, we would sit. Like, I get pissed. I don't know if you get pissed. Some people don't give a fuck. I give a fuck about things. Like, if I'm a headliner, like, I know I'm in Arizona last year. I'm headlining. And, you know, they don't want to pay nobody. They don't want to do a feature. They want to pay 5 guest sets in front of me. They don't want to pay.
Mm.
And I got to do 45 to an hour. They got 5 guest sets. And these guys are outside smoking, and nobody's watching me.
Mm.
So the second show, I said, did you guys watch the show? Oh, no, he's out. I go, look, you're not going on the fucking stage unless you watch me.
Right.
You need to fucking learn how, because your set was not strong.
Right.
I told them all. 5 dudes. And I can be a dick like that. Didn't you used to sit? There's no way you didn't sit at the DC Improv.
Oh, yeah. And you went there to learn and to study. You didn't know that you could smoke outside at your crib.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? I love to sit and watch comics.
Yeah. You're there already. Why wouldn't you? This is your college. Why wouldn't you be there to learn?
Well, we used to, you know, me and Tim would sit there. And I was a regular Boston Comedy Club. So every night in New York City, I'd be doing the lineup, be like Voss, Tim, me, Godfrey, Artie Fuqua, Patrice, and Tony Woods, and we would sit there and watch Tony Woods, and I go, just nobody can tell a story like this dude, man.
Yeah.
We would sit there like little kids.
Yeah.
You never really watched Tony Woods, right?
No, I've seen Tony Woods.
We would sit there, and I go, God,
what a kangaroo story.
Yeah, it's kangaroo story. Yeah.
Well, the thing that a lot of newer comics miss is because they watch online, they don't see how long they honed. Like, you'd see the comics when we started, that you'd see them working on a bit. You see Chris Rock on YouTube. He's very energetic. But you see him in person. He's very low-key. He's very detailed with his jokes.
Yeah.
And it's more cerebral, I think. Then he builds it up to his more kind
of... Right, but also it's a danger of watching everybody on YouTube because then you're not going to sound original.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, we can pinpoint sometimes.
Oh, no, I'll watch a comic sometimes at the Laugh Factory or Improv, whatever it is, and I've never seen him before. And I'll go, who's your favorite comic? Dane Cook? Oh, yeah, I love Dane Cook. Or Elijah Schlesinger, which is, you know, mm-hmm. you know, it's like a Dane Cook type woman, you know. Yeah. And it's like, and you watch these comics, and you're like, oh, they're funny, but they're cheating. I feel they're cheating. Mm-hmm. I feel they don't have
taking shortcuts.
Like at the comic strip in New York City, Lucian would not pass you unless you had the point of view.
Right.
So when you watch Last Comic Standing, because I watch all that shit. I'm still in the game where, you know, I did Last Comic Standing a million years ago. But it was like, I watch it, and Keenan is really pushes that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have your point of view, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so when you did Last Comic Standing, was that good for you?
No, not this season, because what I didn't know was the season before, they started with 100 comics, and then they got 13 episodes. This season, they only got 8.
Right.
So it's the same show with almost half the episode. So they're using a sentence and slashing you. Using a sentence and slashing you. So last season, they would show like your whole 3-minute chunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could then take that tape.
But they're not giving you that full thing now.
Oh, no. This last season. And I had great critiques. Roseanne called me brilliant. Norm Macdonald gave me compliments. You know how hard Norm Macdonald is to get a compliment out of.
Right.
They showed none of that.
Yeah.
So it's like, dag, you know, my reasoning for doing it was to get some good tape,
sure.
put it on my website, and try to get work.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there weren't too many sisters up there. What you got, Miss Pat?
There was.
Now I see
Dominique is in the top five.
Dominique, right? Yeah. So you've got. I see that. I was just going to headline a club, and I was looking at the website, and I see that Miss Pat's there, and I never seen her have a whole week.
Yeah, she's at there, which club?
I can't remember. So maybe but Florida or something. Crazy.
And she's got good representation. She's with John McDonald.
She's been on all the huge podcasts.
Yeah, she's on the Mayor.
She's hilarious. But I'm just saying, she was on there, and did she make the top five?
No, she made as far as I made it. Yeah, she made it to the semifinals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, and that's another thing. So you never, for 15 years, you never had, did you feel you never needed anybody, or were you leery?
Oh, never needed anybody for representation?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had people come and go, they just didn't really do much.
Right, yeah.
You know, people want to put you on their roster, and they want to wait for the phone to ring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a client where you can just wait for. I'm not Kevin Hart,
mm-hmm.
where the phone is just going to ring, and you can lay in the bed eating bonbons. You got to work, mm-hmm. like I do. I have to work. So I would sit on a roster and maybe get one thing in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't worth it for me. I never had representation that I felt like was getting me something I couldn't get for myself.
Yeah, I remember.
And then I got to give you a
years
percentage.
Ago. They agents and when I would have relationships already with, mm-hmm. you know, clients or whatever. Now it's like for colleges, they're like, oh, we're gonna submit you for NACA convention. See if it's like, you know, throwing.
Yeah, and anyway, you got to pay $2,000 for all these regions. And maybe you'll get one region.
Yeah, like the colleges and then cruises. I did my cruise showcase, and I said, okay, I didn't do it this year, so maybe next year we'll put you in the showcase. Like, what about, you know, contacting them and getting
feedback? What about
feedback?
Making it happen? You need bulldogs in this industry.
Yeah.
So you're out here, and would you want to go back to the East Coast and be in that rat race of all
those
sets?
Not really, but I love the political shows, like the new shows that are out, the Trevor Noah, mm-hmm. and the...
buddy Angelo Lozada's the warm-up now.
Oh, my goodness. See, that's what I'm talking. Like, if I could get on shows like that where I could write behind the scenes for Larry Wilmore, Trevor Noah, I would go back in a heartbeat.
Yeah, my buddy Mike Yard is on that nightly show.
Yes, Mike Yard.
And Mike was a beast back in the, you know, me, Mike B, Mike Yard. It's funny, I was doing a show, and you never know. You really never know who likes you, who doesn't like you. Sometimes people never even tell you. So I'm doing doing The Dirty at 12:30, and Daniel Duggar's there. And he says, oh, man, he goes, you're the one that Mike Yard always talks about. I'm like, Mike Yard? He's like, yeah, man, he told me about you, blah, blah, blah. So then he was going to book me in Japan and whatever it was. And I'd never met him, but Mike Yard has said nice things about me. See? And I have not seen Mike in a good 15 years. See? You never know.
Never know.
Who is out there.
And there's some good people out here. I like the ones who spread good news. There's a whole lot of people spreading dirt behind your back, and you never knew why you didn't get that gig.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing. I've never done that, even though I could.
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while I might threaten and say something like, hey, you know, I know a lot of people. I can put a foot in your ass. I mean, I can tell a club not to book you.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just ran into an issue the other day. I was going to go do a spot at the Improv, and a guy said, he's like, well, you know, I know 500 comics, and da-da-da. I go, I'm a fucking national headliner. If I want to do a spot, don't tell me you're going to put a fucking open mic or bringer fucking comic on over me.
Oh, let's talk about the bringer.
Oh, man, I couldn't hate the bringer
more. This is the worst town for the bringer. This, I'm not going to name anybody in particular, but they do this show where everybody's a bringer. It's a big room. Everybody's a bringer. So you come in with your credits, you're nationally headlining. Mm-hmm. They want to put you up 20th because this comic 2 weeks in brought 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you go up, the audience is so drained. Most of them have left because they haven't laughed yet.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, but because somebody brought people, you really give them all this stage time and you know they're not ready and they're not capable or qualified. So now the whole show sucks and it drags on.
And not only that, a lot of those audience think that it's like a competition. Oh, I'm going to laugh at my friend.
Yeah. You know,
that's pretty bad.
That's another thing. It's like, it's upsetting. It's like you work so hard to get where you're at, and then you go to a show like that. Like, I don't fuck with those shows no more. But Tim, last night, was on that situation. Did you go up last night?
No.
Damn near last.
Well, it was just a long-ass show.
Yeah. So it's like, and it's like shit comic after shit comic after, and I go, Tim, go fucking tell this dude, put you the fuck on the stage.
Yeah.
You know, we're at a comedy club. There's not many people at the club. And I'm like, tell him to put you up. And he's like, you know. I go, fuck that, you know. No, just do it. I go, or leave. Walk away. Show them, I ain't got time for this shit. You know what I mean? Because they tell Tim to get there at 8:45. He don't go on until 10:30. You know what I mean? And there's not one pro on the show. You know what I mean? So it's like, shame on them. You know what I mean? And yeah, that bringer thing is horrible. Who created the bringer? Al Martin, New York Comedy Club, right?
Maybe, I don't know.
I think he takes credit for creating the bringer, right? Back in New York, right?
Who'd want to take credit for that?
Exactly.
Well, you know, so
for beating the audience out of a good show.
Yeah.
You know, so have you ever been on... So I remember I'm like headlining the Tampa Improv, which is one of my favorite. You ever do that? One of my favorite.
I don't know if I did Tampa. I did Improv. West Palm
it's almost
Beach.
Like a theater. It's like a theater. It's like
no, I'm not into right? that one.
So I'm headlining that, and then I go, who the fuck is this comic? The next week, and he's just like a YouTube guy that ain't a comic, and they go, oh, all his shows are sold out for the week, and I go, how much time? He goes, oh, he does an hour and a half by himself. I go, what does he do? What the fuck does this comic do? So the other day, I almost never open for somebody, but every once in a while. So I go and I work with Chris Kattan,
mm-hmm.
and the show is sold out. Mm-hmm. It's insane. And I go on right before Chris, and they say you're going to do 10 to 15. Okay, fine. And then I get there, and they go, oh, Chris is not, I don't know, he's stuck in traffic, whatever. So you just go until you get the light. So I'm doing 35 minutes,
okay,
rocking the room, and then Chris Kattan goes up and he's just telling stories. Guy, you know, he's great on Saturday Night Live, but he's not a stand-up comedian.
I've worked with a lot of those Mad TV, yeah. SNL.
Right.
They're just living off the name at this point.
Right. So, you know, and to me, anytime I see anything like that, it really, really upsets me. It hurts my feelings. I work so hard. You know, I mean, I've done, like, on my bio it says 5,000, but I've did 10,000 shows,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I've driven, you know, I don't know how far you drove with Chad that time, but, like, when I went to go headline that, what the hell is that, the Outer Banks or whatever it is, the one in, where's the
North
one?
North Carolina.
No, not that one. The other one he has in the real nice hotel.
Oh, that... You're not talking about that in Virginia, right?
Yeah. That one by Busch Gardens, right?
Yeah.
So we drive. I'm like, oh, Chad, man. He's like, oh, I'll drive. You know, so we drove from like Hoboken to there, you know. So, yeah, so it's like, you know, so you got that club. So then that club is, what do you consider yourself? That's a very clean comedy club. What do you consider yourself?
I consider myself to be adult clean.
Yeah.
You know, like, I try not to say MF and F and things like that, but I'm going to say damn hell. I'm going to say some stuff.
Right.
You know, I'm not, I don't consider myself to be a Christian comic.
This is just all spices. That's all. Right, right. That's stuff in heavy. Do, it's not cumin.
Like, so you know Coleman Green?
Yes.
Right. So Coleman's always calling me up or hitting me up for advice and wants to get this. He wanted mm-hmm. to be with my manager. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's a good guy. So the other day, because I think he's kind of, was it, not that he's pulling at strings, but he's kind of like post, hey, I'm going to start doing churches. I'm going to start, you know what I mean?
Yeah, comics got to find a lane and stick in it. What yeah. happens is I've seen too many comics try to grab the money.
Right.
You know, I'm going to go over here because there's money over here. I'm going to go over here. No, when I first started, like I told you, I called a lot of comics. I called Cheryl Underwood. And she said, start out clean and then go blue. She said, don't do like I did. I started out blue and now I'm having a hard time being taken seriously clean and getting the corporate gigs and the this gig and the that and the church gig. Because if you're this blue comic, and then you're going to do a church, everybody's going to be like, you bringing her to that church? Not realizing she can do that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you get pigeonholed if you start out blue. So she says, start out clean, and if you need to, go dirty. Don't do it the other way around.
That's a good way to work it, because a lot of my favorite comedians, they all saying, you know, I don't want to be fuck this, fuck that, but I want to be able to, when I say the F word, like, it's really a punch. Like, right. It's just not a piece of my regular vocabulary. Yeah, I'm using it to really throw some spice on that last sentence.
Absolutely, like, absolutely. So Cheryl was like, that's probably what took her so long to make it. But one thing I have to say about her, she may have been blue, but she was the best at it. You know what I'm saying? So I started, my first 10 years, I was just clean.
Yeah.
You know, and then, now I say whatever I want to say.
I was never clean. I could never, my wife gets mad at me to this day for it, but I don't know, I feel dirty if I'm not dirty. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird, like, Louis Ramey, he was a real good friend of mine, we used to work together, and he's like, man, he's like, Jimmy, you go clean, he goes, you'll never stop working. I go, well, you know, it might take me a little longer, but it was always hard for me, you know what I mean?
It might take me a little longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're out here hustling around, mm-hmm. trying to think, Cheryl Underwood's the one on the
Talk.
Talk, yeah, right? John yeah. Talk. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and you know the story about her with the conference call.
Oh, yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah, so, you know.
I don't know the story.
Well, you know, this is an allegedly, I don't want to be sued for this type of shit, right? So, let's just say an example. She's supposed to be on the huge comedy tour, and she's on a conference call. And, you know, she calls in, she says Cheryl Underwood, and boom, and they're gonna connect her, and she hears women being a little catty about her, and they're, you know, oh man, I can't believe she's gonna be on this show. What the fuck, we don't want her.
Yeah,
on
they
this
don't
tour.
Know she's listening.
Blah 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 blah. So she kind of, I think she hung up or whatever, told the manager, hey, I'm not interested. You know what I mean? And then they deny it. I think they try to sue her or whatever it is. But it's really sad. You know what I mean? Because that's just comics. It's like they're so. You know, the comics are so catty. Like,
I hear everyone's bitter, man. Like, especially in comedy, because it's the one art form where, like, it really, you rise to the top very quickly if you're funny. Like, the people's advice, you always see the youngins running up and like, what's the secret? What's the secret? What's the secret? And it's just like, be funny.
Yeah.
If you're funny and people like you, you're just going to keep going up. The moment you stop being funny is the moment you're going to have a problem.
But those big tours are like Survivor. It's like the person who wants to go last and don't really want no heat in front of them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they'll salt your game quick.
Yeah, it's like you'll hear like the dirty acts that, you know, you have to be clean to go in front. I mean, you are a filthy...
Right. It's not like you're clean.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand if I'm out dirtying you, but if I, you know, I'm like, just I can't even.
Well, Aries Spears has it in his contract that no black acts can go in front of him. And I'm like, but you say you're the best at it. Why do you care who goes in front of you?
Yeah. Moshe Kasher, he's a huge comedian now, and he got some of his biggest gigs when he was first coming up because he looked like such a stereotypical Jewish guy that Bruce would want him to open up for him. Ari Spear, like all these big black acts would want him to open up for him. And they were huge gigs, so he'd just do it. Right. Sometimes he'd eat it, but eventually he became this really nerdy Jewish guy that could own a black room.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hate all those rules and all this stuff. Just go last and be funny.
So you're still booking your own gigs, or did you get?
Well, now I'm gonna start. You know, as of right now, I have help booking my gigs. I'm always gonna book my own gigs, but I also have help booking my gigs at this point.
Right. So, so this film we're supposed to do with this table read, is this gonna happen? What's up?
I don't think it's gonna happen. It was always a short film or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to happen. It needed at least one rewrite.
Yeah, definitely needed a rewrite. The guy's a nice guy. Very nice. I hit him up, but these are like things that they kind of annoy me because he's like a producer or whatever the hell. He's making all this money, and then he just directed a couple episodes of this show, right?
Right.
It's like, motherfucker, put your own money into this film.
Yeah.
How can you not... What's this going to be, 10, 20, 30? You want to direct it? You wrote it. You want your passion to come to life? Yeah. Do a Kickstarter. Do something.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. It's a thing about cancer. It's a good story. We could have fun with it. Yeah. Kelly did my podcast.
Oh, okay.
What a pro, man. He's been around a while. Just hustles.
Seasoned.
It's funny.
Kelly just is a great, great guy. Great buddy of mine. I'm in the celebrity poker tournament Saturday, and I think he's in that one. He was supposed to go to the one I played in last week, but he didn't end up showing.
Are you good at poker?
Oh yeah, I got a royal flush last week.
Woo!
So the paparazzi was all over taking pictures.
Good gracious alive!
And it was so funny because Getty Images, you know Getty Images,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I posted, and a famous manager. He's no longer managing. He was a huge comedy manager, Rick Siegel. If you ever heard,
I remember that name.
Huge, right?
Yeah.
And he's a big fan of mine. And he hits me up on Facebook and he goes, Jimmy, take those Getty Images down. He goes, you can be sued for tons of money. And then he said,
Where'd you post it?
I just posted on my Facebook.
But dang, it's your picture?
No, yeah.
Because I put mine up.
Yeah, you cannot post Getty Images. You will be sued. They have lawsuits. You can't post. It's weird. So, because it says Getty Images right across there.
But I thought that's why we can use it, because they watermarked it.
I thought so too, yeah. So anyway, so he sent me a contract, so my manager goes, oh yeah, just take it down. You know, so that was it. Because my manager goes, all they're going to do is say take it down. He goes, no. He goes, they can hit you with a suit. So I started Googling it, and I see
people. I'm like, then don't take my damn picture if you're going to turn around and sue me for it later. Yeah.
I mean, they took my picture, paparazzi took my picture, and within, an hour, the shit was on Getty Images. So I'm like, what are you, you just send it to Getty? Why the fuck, you know, so I don't understand how it works.
Yeah, but I'm going to ask next time. I just opened for All for One after El Rey, and Getty Images took my picture, and I reposted it. And I'm going to ask one of these people, is it going to be a problem for me to repost this picture? Yeah. You're getting the credit.
Yeah, just Google it a little bit. You know, okay. I get nervous, any of that lawsuit shit.
The best is when you, I always joke about this, when you take a picture with somebody, and then, so it's your picture, but you tag them.
Yeah.
Then they cut you out and use the picture.
Oh yeah, that edit button is my powerful picture. That edit button is. I had a friend whose sister, her sister's little, she posted family pictures on Facebook, and her sister took them off to put on her Facebook. She contacted Facebook and told them somebody's stealing my family photos, and they tagged my friend and everything. And it was her biological sister; they had the same mother. Because she got grandma and granddaddy's wedding photo up, it's a problem. I said, it's some people out here.
That's crazy, man.
So are you going out auditioning and stuff?
Yeah, I'm auditioning. You know, whenever I can get it, I'm in town. That's what I do, yeah.
And you did your talk show. Pilot.
Yeah, I finished the pilot.
And who's involved in that?
Who are the girls in the pilot? Yeah. It's Ida Rodriguez, Helen Hong, Kira Sultanovich, myself, and Shantae Wayne.
So every nationality.
Oh, yeah. It's the Rainbow Coalition. I got a Jewish, Russian, Asian. That's right. Russian Jew, Asian, butch lesbian.
But all strong.
Puerto Rican. Yeah.
Ida, right. So yeah, it's funny. Ida, she kind of crashed the podcast one day. It was she came over and she was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Oh, I'm doing podcast. Can I come in?" And it was like she was talk first. She was the only person that actually ever did that. And but I haven't seen her. And she's, you know, she's doing well. You know,
yeah, she's doing really well. Last Comic Standing helped her out a lot because that was the right season to do it. The season before.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, the only thing that I didn't like about that season mm-hmm. was you had to be the tour guide and all that bullshit like Rodman did. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew Rodman was going to win the whole thing.
Man, he's always been hilarious for so long.
Oh, he's always been funny. But you know what? That last set he did was not the strongest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I heard some behind-the-scenes stuff about that show, but yeah.
Yeah, but but anyways.
What did you hear?
Oh, well, I didn't watch the season. Did y'all watch it? Because somebody told me that he had gotten eliminated and then put back in. Mm.
Well, no, because what happens is you have a chance to make it back last season. Like, okay. It was someone who had been voted off had a chance to be brought back.
But he had been voted off and was brought back.
Yeah,
that's gotta suck.
Yeah, people don't like that. They don't like you coming back. So, I had an experience like that before.
Would you do Last Comic Standing again?
No.
What about America's Got Talent? Like, you know, when I was on America's Got Talent, my girl Coco Brown was on.
Yeah.
And she got, you know, she done, got you know, got Tyler headway. Perry and America's all that shit.
I want to do stuff I haven't done. Yeah. You know, I haven't. But America's Got Talent really isn't the form for a comedian. They want the big acts of who's going to do Vegas for a year and all that stuff. I mean, if you can get some camera time, that's good, but you're not going to win it all as a comedian. You know, I mean, they left the guy, what was his name? Tom Carter.
Tom Carter, he got beat by the dogs.
See, we're not going to win it all, but I mean, it's some good tape.
But he got second John place.
Rivers. Yeah, he got Vegas residency from that too, didn't he?
No.
I thought he did.
No, he might have got a little couple shows, but he's a good buddy of mine. Yeah.
So I mean, no comic is gonna win that contest, but I mean, you can get some good tape, and I would do that. I want to do anything I haven't done already.
Right.
Those seem like they have a shelf life of like 2 years. Like they're big bursts. They get a lot of views online.
Yeah.
Quick fame, and then it just kind of dies.
See, I would like a Netflix thing where I could just do my own special and air it on Netflix, something like that.
How are you doing with social media?
Horrible. And that's another thing. If you have like millions of followers, you don't even have to be funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, just get your, instead of me working on my act, I need to work on my Twitter numbers. How about that?
Right. It's, you know? Yeah, it's.
I'm so lazy on Twitter that I don't even tweet. I do the Facebook that connects to Twitter. I'm like, I can't do both.
Yeah. Exactly. No, the Twitter that goes in your Facebook.
So being a woman, are you, because you're, have you ever been in a long relationship?
Uh-huh.
Been married?
No, never been married.
Never been married. So are you getting like hit on, I get hit on and I'm married, like through Facebook. Like, I'll get
you some know, everybody center. Uses everything as their eHarmony.
Like, my
know?
Wife told me she got hit on LinkedIn.
Yeah, they'll
she's
hit
like,
you
what
LinkedIn.
The fuck? She's like, she business. Deleted her LinkedIn. She's like, I'm getting hit on through LinkedIn. She goes, I'm not even.
Yeah, oh, anything. LinkedIn. That's free.
I mean, that's like the most.
Get hit up on. Yeah,
it's like sexual harassment on LinkedIn. That's a business.
Yeah. You know, this is not very professional.
She's like, it's not very productive. What does it pay?
Oh, yeah, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Anywhere somebody can flirt with you for free, they'll do it.
Right. Have you did the internet dating world?
I have done it. I've done it. When I was in Vegas, I did it, and everybody was so flaky. This one guy told me, and he was a really cool guy, but he was like, I got to wait for my boy to pick me up because I don't drive that far. I was like, nowhere in Vegas is that daggone far.
Yeah.
You know, so you get people that just like, their little, something's a little different.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, I don't have any problems with internet dating because it's still two people that have to relate at some point. You can meet this person at a bar and not have it work out.
Right.
So, you know, when people are busy, any way you can meet people, I think is a good thing. As long as they don't turn out to be crazy.
Right.
This one girl, she met this crazy guy. It wasn't by the internet, but she met him in a grocery store. And every time she comes to the grocery store, he'd come over and harass her and blah, blah, blah. Then he started finding out when she go. One time she said she was at a red light and he jumped in her path and just see.
Jesus.
Oh my god.
There's some crazy people
that
out
there. Is, that is not bad. Crazy. It's not bad. Funny. I might try that.
Jump right on there. Hey!
So what if you, I mean, being a headliner, what if all of a sudden you had to be an Uber driver?
Mm.
Like it dried up for you. Would you go back to D.C.?
You know what? I actually think Uber and Lyft is not a bad thing because I'm the type of person that I don't like micromanagement.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go into offices and office politics and somebody always looking over you, you work 5 minutes longer at lunch. And I can't So I'd rather be an Uber driver than go back into an office.
Okay.
Because you can set your own hours. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you want to plug on my show?
Yeah, I'll be at Flappers at New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Nice. I'm trying to think if there's anything else coming up that I want to... Not really.
And you got a website?
Yeah, my website is AlyciaCooper.com, A-L-Y-C-I-A, Cooper.com. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. I need to get my numbers up because they're harassing me in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I can't get bookings.
Yeah, that's
And and subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's my name, Alicia Cooper. Got some funny clips up.
You got that up there. So is there, as a woman, as an actress, actor... Who is your woman crush? Who do you like? You know, so a lot of women like Meryl Streep. Who do you like to? That you like? I wish I could have that acting career.
That acting career. You know what? I just like to see people succeeding against the odds. Like Viola Davis with her Emmy speech. This woman did a quote from Harriet Tubman in the 1800s that's still appropriate right now.
Right.
Right. And I mean, if Shonda Rhimes hadn't written that part for her, she'd be sitting on her couch. So, and is a great actor. So, you know, I love to see people overcome the odds and they're victorious. She's been great in every role she's ever played.
You know, and I feel that Taraji, and I feel that those, strong black women, I think that they are, they're all really genuine. Like Taraji's like, girl, like she's happy.
Taraji's
like,
from the same part of Maryland that I'm from.
Okay, yeah.
And we tend to keep it real, so.
Yeah, so that's how I felt.
And also Taraji's younger than Viola, so she has time to get her Emmy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, I think she's going to get for Empire, you know.
Yeah. Did you see that clip Lee Daniels has? They did that round table with all the showrunners. And it was it's all over the internet right now. No, he went around the table and said, it. "How many black writers you got? How many black writers you got? How many black writers? Zero. And he was, he got him. He got him. I mean, it was just so funny because I've been in situations like that too. And it is, I mean, it just, when you get to his level, rarely do people care. You know, but you got to see it. I'll send it to your Facebook page.
So being a sister, how often have you ever gone out for a role that is, like, maybe you had real good rep, and it's for a white girl. They wrote it for a white girl, and then you go in and you get it.
You know what?
Or at least you get a call back, and they change their mind and say, you know, maybe we can do this, Alicia, for this role.
Yeah. And see, that also happened because there was a time when they were put in a script, white, girl, blah, blah, blah. Now they'll leave the script open to interpretation and let everybody go in and slug it out for it. You know, so the problem really isn't in front of the camera as much as it is behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you'll have a whole show with a black cast and a whole room full of white writers. You know what I'm saying? So you ain't gonna see no whole black room full of black writers for Seinfeld and Frasier.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So, you know, it's so funny. I remember seeing Mario Joyner, knowing that he's like one of what's called Jerry Seinfeld's best friend, and fucking George Wallace.
Yeah,
and you know, best friend. You know, he's got that teeny ass little role, Mario. And then George Wallace had a teeny ass little role on the show too. I'm like, you fucking best friend. You know how to put this.
I noticed that too, and I always wondered, did they say anything? Because I'm gonna say something to my friend.
Yeah.
You can let me on six different times. I got them little tiny roles because nobody ever remembered.
Oh, you know, it's so funny because he calls him.
I don't know, on Seinfeld, like you, smaller roles are what everybody remembers. People still remember.
The Soup Nazi.
Soup Nazi. Yeah, Soup people Nazi. Still remember Man.
Well, you know, I used to have the same manager as the Soup Nazi. He only did two episodes and got famous. Two episodes. He does personal appearances all over the country, Europe, everywhere. He goes and opens restaurants, kitchens. He shows up with a lot of money, man.
Jeez.
There's funny ways the way people make their money. I was in an airport and was getting on a flight. I was waiting in the gate area with a guy who's made his whole living coming out of New York as an Obama impersonator. And he looks just like him.
Oh, yeah.
You talking about money?
Oh, yeah.
He goes all over the world as Obama.
Does he sound like him?
Sounds like him, looks like him, yeah.
Sometimes you'll get those guys that look like or... You know, but they don't even sound. You're like, oh, yeah, come on, learn it. Like it.
Yeah, he's worked on it.
Perfect. So there's a couple things I want to ask you. So you are single.
Yes.
So do you watch porn?
I don't have time to watch porn. By the time I get home, I'm knocked out.
I always have time to watch porn.
You watch it on your phone?
Oh, yeah, I watch on my phone. I put it on my belly. And look, I got the little thing. And it go right there. That's it right there.
Where'd you get this little contraption? The eye ring. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You know, me and Tim, we went to a red carpet event. They gave me swag. And, And it was like everything was gone except for they had like two eye rings and some juice. And I'm like, Tim, take as many eye rings as we can. And it's great. So what would Alicia Cooper's porn name be if you're a porn star?
You know what they said for your porn name is supposed to be your first pet and the first street you lived on.
You can do it that way or you can come up with something that's special about you.
No, I can do it that way.
Okay.
It would be Taffy Carrington.
Taffy Carrington!
That's hot.
That's kind of sexy.
Welcome to clubtaffy.com.
Yo, did you jerk the Taffy Carrington? Hey, is it hurting?
Taffy ain't the only thing being stretched.
Yeah, it's stretch. The vagina stretches like taffy. That is hilarious. So, but you know, I think you are genuine. I think you're sweet. I love you. But I think you could be a little gangster. I think there's a little gangster in you. So who would you, if you were in the mafia, who would what would your mafia name be?
Mafia name would be, well, I have asthma, so I have to be like asthma.
Wheezy.
Yeah, Wheezy.
Wheezy Jefferson.
Wheezy Carrington. Oh, don't fuck with Wheezy Carrington. Oh, no.
I'll suck your dick in a second.
Hell.
And then I'll kill you.
You met her sister, Taffy?
Porn star. That's hilarious. So what would your, the last thing is, I've had a great time. Would you have had a fun time?
I've had a great time. Good.
What would your favorite swear word be?
Favorite swear word would be, motherfucker!
It's a good one. It's a classic.
Yeah.
Nothing hits harder when you drop the K correctly.
Yeah.
Like when you hit the K. Yeah. At the end, like it's sharp.
And you can't have the ER at the end.
People get angry when you drop it the right way.
She did that like Chris Tucker. Motherfucker!
K.A.
Fucker!
Yeah.
Fucker!
You should get a shirt that says motherfucker.
Motherfucker, because it goes for every situation.
F-U-C-K. Cool. Anything else, guys? We're good? Nope. I think we've had a great time.
I've had an amazing time.
Love you, baby.
Thank you.
Always.
You know, I'm sneezing all up in the thing.
What do you say? Goodbye.
Adios.
Tim.
Bye-bye.
Alicia, see you. Brooklyn Buddha Podcast. We're out. Peace.
Brooklyn Buddha.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here.
Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.